Jeff Wine, host of the Car Show on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we've got an action-packed show today. Going to catch you up on the latest and the greatest of the world of the automobile. We've got a racing-heavy show today. We've got IndyCars racing in downtown Washington, D.C. Yes, right around the Capitol. That should be exciting news. Formula One back in play racing in the Netherlands and a big crash at the beginning of the race. We'll also talk about what's going on with NASCAR. Last weekend in Richmond, this weekend they're in New Hampshire. And then, of course, we'll be talking about the traditional things, what's going on with our gas prices. And then, of course, it wouldn't be the car show without a little car talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on the car show. Well, the Formula One race is actually running as I'm recording my show this morning. And they are racing for the last time in Zandvoort, Netherlands, which is the home track for one Max Verstappen. And Max just re-signed his contract for a three-year extension running through 2030 that he's going to be racing for the Red Bull team. They had some rain this morning, and they decided not to start on any rain tires because most of the track was dry. Well, Max crashed out on the opening lap in the last turn, so he is out of the race, not exactly the way he wanted to start off his new contract with Red Bull. And I don't remember exactly why they're not going to be racing in Zandvoort for a while, a very cool track right on the coast in the Netherlands. So that's your Formula One news, and we'll see if we have any more updates before the end of the show. Well, IndyCar news, IndyCar racing in downtown Washington, D.C. around the Capitol. This is all to celebrate the 250th anniversary of our country. And the headline reads, Alex Palou pushes to IndyCar pole for the Freedom 250. Well, qualifying for the Freedom 250 in Washington, D.C. was anything but boring after multiple drivers hit the wall and one incident ruined the plans for two teammates as one single car completely made a run for the pole. Alex Palou rocketed to his seventh P1 position. The championship leader flew around the 1.7-mile, 7-turn street court race in a mere 56.8 seconds, and it was a half a second clear of Andretti Global's Kyle Kirkwood in the number 27 Honda and Team Penske's Scott McLaughlin, who took third in his Chevrolet ahead of Christian Rasmussen, who earned his best career fourth starting position in the number 21 Chevrolet. And Meyer Shank Racing's Marcus Armstrong was fifth on the grid. Alex Palou said, incredible. Such a privilege to be racing here. It's been packed. My car was on rails, super fun to drive, and I wasn't leaving anything left out on the track. Well, Kirkwood was stunned by the separation between his lap and the pole winner. Well, the car's been on rails all weekend, he said, and Alex is just a legend. He made us look silly out there. I put what I thought in was a stellar lap, and he goes nearly a half a second faster. Elsewhere, Dale Coyne's racing Dennis Hauger in his rookie season. A solid late run for him, qualifying in 8th. Kyle Collette, another rookie, is going to be starting in 11th position for AJ Foyt Racing. And Nolan Siegel was also impressive, qualifying in 12th. Interesting, some big names with a lot of passing to do on Sunday will be Will Power starting in 13th, Scott Dixon starting in 14th. Last weekend's race pole sitter Marcus Ericsson in 15th, Joseph Newgarden in 16th, and the man of the moment, Rinus VK, starting all the way back in 19th. So pretty crazy, very exciting, fun to watch this yesterday on TV with the fact you're running around Washington, D.C. with the Capitol in the background. So exciting. Now that race is actually on right now. It started early, started at 11:30 Eastern time. So that race is going on Fox Sports, if you want to, excuse me, on Fox 10, if you want to kind of check that out a little bit. A little NASCAR news. Last weekend, they were racing on Saturday night up in Richmond, and Joey Logano wins in Richmond. Well, Joey Logano issued a not-too-subtle reminder on Saturday night that he is a three-time NASCAR Championship Series champion and is ready to poise himself for another championship run. Logano claimed his second win of the 2026 season in dramatic fashion, second victory in the last four races, driving his number 22 Ford Penske to a dramatic, almost a half a second win in the Cookout 400 under the lights in front of an enthusiastic sellout crowd at Richmond Raceway. So Joey Logano, look at that. Watch out. We got a new format in the playoffs in NASCAR. No more win in your in. You got to continue to score those points. But Joey Logano, once again, when it comes to playoff time, he starts rallying. Joey Logano wins the race. Chase Briscoe finishes in second. Austin Cindric got a 1-3 for the Penske guys. Denny Hamlin finished in fourth, and Chase Elliott rounding out the top five. This weekend, they are running up in New Hampshire. NASCAR news. This is the best unkept secret in the garage. The headline reads, Connor Zilich to drive the number 48 for Hendricks in 2028. Well, Connor Zilich has signed a multi-year agreement with Hendricks Motorsports to be the next driver of the number 48 Allied Chevrolet. Connor Zilich, who is just 20 years old, will replace Alex Bowman beginning for the 2028 NASCAR series. Bowman announced last month that he will retire from full-time NASCAR competition after signing a one-year extension at the end of the 2027 season. Quote, Connor is a truly gifted young racer. According to Rick Hendrick, the team owner, his talent behind the wheel is exceptional. But I'm even more impressed by the person he is. When someone has that kind of ability and that kind of character comes along, you do everything you can to bring him into your organization. We have tremendous confidence in Connor. We believe he is the right driver to build on with the legacy of the number 48 team for many years to come. By the time Zilich gets in the car, he will have had 2 years of Cup experience under his belt. Zilich is a rookie with Trackhouse Racing this season, driving the number 88 Chevrolet. Now, Zilich was brought to NASCAR by Justin Marks and Trackhouse Racing. The phenom in karting and sports car racing quickly established himself in the NASCAR Stock Car Series. In his O'Reilly Auto Parts debut with JR Motorsports at Watkins Glen in 2024. Although he fell short of a championship in 2025 with a historic season with 10 victories, 8 poles, and 23 top 10 finishes in 33 starts. This is one of those moments you dream about as a kid, Zilich said. Hendricks Motorsports has always represented the standard in our sport, and being entrusted to continue the legacy means everything to me. The chance to drive a Chevrolet for Mr. Hendricks, carry the colors of an incredible partner like Ally, and compete alongside some of the best drivers and racing people in the world. I'm grateful for the confidence they've shown in me. It's now my job to prove that they made the right decision. Ally will remain the full-time sponsor of the number 48 car. Zilich will be the third driver in the company to have worked with them. Ally joined Hendricks Motorsports in 2019, the final two seasons of Jimmy Johnson's career. Alex Bowman took over the car following Johnson's retirement. We spent nearly a decade investing in the number 48's storied legacy with Hendricks Motorsports. We handed the wheel to another driver, as Connor's caliber is an incredible way to begin another historic chapter. According to Andrea Brimmer, the chief marketing and public relations officer for Ally, Connor is an unbelievable talent with the motivation to match. He understands what it means to represent a brand and a fan base that deeply cares about him and the car. I'm thrilled to welcome to the Allied Racing family, and I cannot wait to do great things on and off the track. So, like I said, no big surprise. Connor Zilich goes to Team Hendricks, not next year, but in 2028. Well, a little Formula One update since we kind of jumped in with what happened to Max Verstappen on the opening lap. Lando Norris beats Russell to the Dutch Grand Prix pole. Yeah, Lando Norris started in pole position for the Dutch Grand Prix. George Russell starts in second, Kimi Antonelli third, Oscar Piastri in fourth, and Lewis Hamilton in fifth. Well, as guys mentioned, we had a crash on the opening lap, so they restarted the race about 15 minutes later. And what happened was is that Lando Norris got passed on the opening turn by Kimi Antonelli, and Kimi Antonelli continues to lead the race. Oscar Piastri is running a different strategy than his teammate Lando Norris. He is running on the hard tires, hoping to run longer than the other cars. So once again, we're still in process of the Formula One race, and if it's over by the time I'm done with the show, I'll give you results. If not, well, it'll wait till next weekend. So last couple years, we talked about Kyle Larson running the double in NASCAR and IndyCar. So starting at the Indy 500 and then running in the Coca-Cola 600. Well, last weekend, he did his own version of the double that didn't make a lot of news until after it was done. And the headline reads, Larson didn't think he would make it to the Knoxville Nationals, and Hendricks Motorsports had another idea. Well, Kyle Larson was resigned to the fact that he was not going to be racing the Knoxville Nationals in the Sprint Car Series, and that's Sprint Car racing on dirt tracks, but from support from Hendricks Motorsports, he made it happen. Larson finished sixth in the NASCAR Cup race at Richmond Raceway on Saturday night and immediately jogged off the pit road to begin the trek. Not only did he make it to the Knoxville event, which was heavily delayed due to weather, but he claimed his fourth victory in one of dirt racing's biggest events. It was the latest example of how Larson, a two-time NASCAR champion, is running with this organization. Hendricks Motorsports has been backing both his stock car racing and his racing on dirt, as well as his attempts to run at the Indy 500. It's routinely been done since in the company since 2021, and HendricksCars.com is the sponsor of both of these entries. Quote, it's really awesome that they support me, my dirt racing, to the magnitude that they have since being hired by Hendricks Motorsports to race their cup cars. I feel like any other race team would probably not care so much to the extent of updating their driver or trying to organize the fine details to save enough time so I could actually get to this race. I think Hendricks Motorsports is probably the only team that could jump through hoops like this. Spire may be the other one with Carson Hocevar because he's into the same thing. But Cliff Daniels and Jeff Andrews and Jeff Gordon, and I even think Rick Hendricks, likes to see me race in sprint cars every now and then. Cliff Daniels, my crew chief, is my biggest cheerleader for the effort. Now, Larson climbed into his number 5 Chevrolet at 7:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the start of the Knoxville Nationals out of his mind because he believed the weather forecast was good enough for them to race at some point. At that time, Larson had no expectation that he would be able to get to Knoxville. Even before the race, Cliff was like, man, we got to get you a helicopter and we have to be ready for this. Larson said, no, the forecast doesn't look good. I'm not going to make it. I don't need a helicopter. And then he was going on, no, we need to have a plan. We need to do this. And I was like, dude, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. So they were all into it, maybe even more than I was, which is kind of crazy. So it was Daniels under the caution in the race that told Larson that the event at Knoxville was being delayed because of weather. Larson was both surprised and suddenly maybe a little bit excited that he didn't know how long he had to maybe make the program in Knoxville. Well, I didn't want to ask any questions. It seemed like I needed to stay focused. I didn't want to lose my focus on the NASCAR race because I was trying to get the best finish possible for our team after the struggles we've been going through. So, trying to finish the race as best we could, and I see what happens. Immediately after the checkered flag, they told me that the race in Knoxville was delayed, and I was thankfully excused from any media obligations, and I needed to get out of here as fast as possible. Well, it might have been a once-in-a-lifetime series of events for this double to happen. Larson isn't taking anything for granted after giving the experience of trying to make the Indianapolis-Charlotte double and being interrupted by weather. I am super thankful, Larson said. I am very thoughtful of my cup duties these days, maybe even more than I used to a few years ago. But I had no problem racing in the night before, traditionally in a NASCAR race, and then jumping back into a sprint car, even if it was getting up at 4 a.m. But no, never once did they say, no, you shouldn't do that. So your focus is getting off. So that means an awful lot to me that they trust me, that I know what I'm doing in the sprint cars, and I'm still staying focused on all my NASCAR stuff. Well, the good story is he made the race and he won the race. So incredible. Raced at NASCAR in the Saturday night and then was able to make it till Knoxville, which is in Iowa. And he made that race and he was able to win the Knoxville Nationals for the fourth time in his career. A lot of people talk about Formula One drivers being the best drivers in the world. There's no doubt in my mind that this young man, Kyle Larson, is the best race car driver in the world, period. Pages of the website The Drive. This is a column called The Downshift, and the headline reads, Feds keep investigating General Motors' 6.2-liter V8 that keeps failing despite all the fixes. The probe covers nearly 1 million vehicles and SUVs after 500 owners let the National Transportation and Safety Association saying their vehicles are still having problems post-recall. So, who knows what's going on with these situations? It's kind of crazy. Well, welcome to Downshift, and the Downshift recaps briefly some of the best stories from the automotive world. The National Highway Safety Administration has expanded its investigation into the General Motors L87 small block V8s off the back of continued complaints from owners despite the recalls. Our Byron Hurd has covered this issue extensively. In a total, the probe covers nearly a million trucks and SUVs that use this engine, from the Chevrolet Silverado to the Cadillac Escalade and the GMC Yukon, ranging from model years 2021 through 2026. The National Transportation Highway Safety Board has a new engineering data amasses the efficacy of GM's attempts to remedy the problem and mitigating engine failure. So General Motors still continues to have issues with this even after the recall. Now, Stellantis is again recalling a certain 21 to 23 Dodge Durangos equipped with a rear spoiler due to a misalignment issue that could cause them to fly off at speed. 75,000 SUVs are impacted in total. Well, China has just commenced its largest auto recall in history, one of the largest anywhere in the world, up there with the Takata airbag recall, over an emergency door release in vehicles with electronic handles. The recall takes numerous forms, 11 different automakers issuing some new software, others installing warning labels to highlight that the handle's locations. Tesla alone, for example, will have to make change to 3 million cars. Well, Lamborghini CEO Stefan Winkelmann is, according to an interview at the Monterey Car Week, said the customers are very happy for the new decision to recast the new Lamborghini that they are building, the Lanzador, as a plug-in hybrid rather than a fully electric vehicle. The Netherlands has just issued a fine to Uber for nearly $1 billion for suspending driver accounts without notice between 2020 and 2022. Under these rules, surprisingly, the rideshare company tends to appeal. Yeah, with a billion-dollar judgment, I would be appealing the same day. And Tesla has discontinued its solar roof product. Will continue to offer conventional solar panels. The company first talked about this over a decade ago before acquiring SolarCity, a company Tesla and Elon Musk invested in, which was run by his cousins. The product never managed to be as inexpensive or sell as well as Musk touted. And the races this weekend, as we were talking about, the Formula One race is well, by this time, the radio show will be over. We also have sports cars. They're racing in Virginia, and that's going to be on NBC. We talked about IndyCar is actually on right now on Fox. That started at 10 a.m. NASCAR will be running on USA. That starts at noon. And we have NHRA drag racing on Fox Sports 1, and that will be starting locally on 3:30 p.m. Well, speaking of NASCAR, the headline reads, Reddick back on top with a pole run in New Hampshire. It's been a tough summer, tough stretch for the early season dominator Tyler Reddick, but the five-time winner positioned himself to turn things around 1 week before running to Daytona before the playoff starts. Reddick threw down a quick lap of 131.04 to claim his fifth pole of the season in New Hampshire Motor Speedway. It's the Californian's first pole run since Kansas in April. After a dreadful practice session where he slotted in 31st, no one was more surprised with his result than Reddick. Well, I was really unhappy after practice, Reddick said. I don't really recall a practice where I've complained like that. We did not have a good practice, but that's the way we turned this one around. I just commented after the run, we've got to qualify pretty good. We don't want to run where we did in Richmond. Well, the 30-year-old will carry, hopefully, this result to a strong run today and rebound before they jump into the playoffs. So that's pretty exciting that Tyler Reddick, who has struggled over the summer after winning so many races at the beginning of the season, it looked like he was going to run away with the championship this year. Well, Tyler Reddick starting on pole. Josh Berry, who is running out his final races with the Wood Brothers, who lost his ride and has not been announced where he's going to pick up his next ride. William Byron's going to start in third. Denny Hamlin in fourth. Shane Van Gisbergen, the road racing ace, is starting in fifth. And Christopher Bell will start in sixth. Ty Gibbs in seventh. Ryan Blaney in eighth. Kyle Larson in ninth. And rounding out the top ten, Alex Bowman. All those last two drivers both drive for Hendrick Motorsports. An unusual automotive news, and the headline reads, Stellantis has a creepy idea to make you trust driverless cars. Well, even if you trust driverless tech, getting into a car without anybody in the driver's seat is a little terrifying for some people. Knowing that a computer is behind the wheel is one thing. Seeing nobody in the driver's seat is something completely different. Well, CarBuzz has just found a patent from Stellantis from an invention that looks to solve this problem, and it's straight out of science fiction. And no, we're not talking about the Johnny Cab from the Total Recall movie. It's even creepier than that. How would you feel about a hologram being your chauffeur? Well, automakers and tech companies are throwing buckets of cash at developing automated driving systems. And these are SAE level 4 driving systems, which you never need a person at the controls. Well, one of these issues is trust. And we're talking about not having someone at this at the controls. And it's important for not just you, the trust, but also in communication. It also gives and receives customers from instructions from the passengers. In the patent, Stellantis posts that this hologram or projection would solve both of these problems. Now, it would act like a heads-up display rather than a representation sitting in the driver's seat. You would see a reflection of an avatar in the windshield, and it would give a machine learning expressions, would sync up with mouth movements and machine-generated speech, and it would look at you even while it was talking. Passengers could even pick their drivers. An avatar customized to the occupants could help them feel more comfortable in the vehicle. Now, Stellantis describes this even more fascinating scenario that involves what real humans have said about the holographic autonomous driver. It would come into play in rare situations where a person would need to take over the car. Autonomous vehicles are likely to still have remote operators in some situations. When a vehicle drives outside of the operational domain, there's some particular override system, for example. Instead of a person simply taking over the car remotely, the car would be brought back into the loop. The same projection would show an image of a remote driver, making it look as if you were in the car with them. They would look at you and talk to you, and they would take you to your driving destination. This invention and patent would let remote driver acknowledgement, which could be a problem, at least as an issue with the passengers, to reassure them that everything is under control. Now, this idea of a remote driver instead of a car that just whisks you away is nothing new. For centuries, boats and trains, horses and wagons have had a person in the loop, and we're used to that. Getting rid of that person is the goal of the autonomous driving tech because, in theory, it's cheaper, but it's also difficult to convince people it's better. A replacement for the driver, just a floating image, could be enough to help convince people that this is okay. Gas prices with our friends over at AAA. Right now, the average gas price in the United States is $4.09 a gallon. Here in Arizona, $4.46. Over in New Mexico, $4.06. Colorado, $4.45. Utah, $4.35. Nevada, $4.77. California, $5.61. As we head to the east, Texas, $3.62. Oklahoma, $3.86. As we head over to Mississippi at $3.66, for our friends and family in Indiana, $3.52. And I just came from Florida this week, where gas was an average price of $3.86. All right, let's see what's going on here locally with our prices around the great state of Arizona. Well, our friends in Littlefield continue to have the least expensive gas in the state. The TA Express at $3.45. The Maverick Station at $3.62. How about this? The Chevron station in Tucson on Alvaron Way checking in with $3.69. The Express Fuel in Eloy at $3.75. And how about this? Bucky's out in Goodyear on Bullard Avenue, $3.75 for checking in at the least expensive gas in the metro. The Pilot station in Eloy at $3.79, as well as the Arco station in Yuma at $3.79, and the Shell station, the Shell in the 76 station at 35th Avenue and Glendale at $3.79. We'll continue on the local phase. We talked about Bucky's. How about this? Your friends at Costco on McDowell Road in Avondale at $3.79. The Sam's Club on Dysart Road at $3.79. So there's definitely some cheap gas out on the west side. Sam's Club on McDowell, that's another one, $3.79. See if we can find anything in the East Valley. Oh, here we go. Sam's Club on Gilbert Road in Gilbert at $3.89. The Costco on Arizona Avenue in Gilbert at $3.94. Oh, here we go in Scottsdale. The Walmart on Northside over by the 101 Freeway and Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard at $3.95. And the Marathon Station out in Apache Junction, always one of the cheapest gas stations in town, at $3.97. So definitely there are some choices under $4 a gallon, which is hopeful. We've come to that time in the show. It's time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, I got a question. Why do steering wheels have bulges at 10 and 2? It makes me uncomfortable to put my hands there. I do find if I cross my arms and grasp the steering wheel from the inside, it feels fine, but I choose not to drive that way. Instead, I put my hands at 1 and 11, or at 3 and 9, which, although is better than where the bulges are, it still doesn't feel great, and I cannot find an answer to why these bulges are there. So I'm going to go straight to the top and ask you. And that's from John. Well, this is why I always steer with my thighs, John. Actually, you're talking about the small bulges that some car makers are putting on the inside of the steering wheels at around 10 and 2. And I'm guessing that's why if you cross your arms and you put your fingers around the outside of the wheel, you can avoid those bumps. While simultaneously maybe flossing your teeth with the steering wheel. So I would absolutely stop doing that, John. So here's your answer. They're called thumb bolsters, and they're designed for your thumbs to rest on while you're holding the steering wheel at about a 9-ish and a 3-ish position. Now, the 9 and 3 is actually what is recommended these days. If your airbags were to deploy in a crash, safety advocates say that it's better for the airbag force to force your arms out of the way rather than upwards toward your face. And those thumb rests serve several purposes, other than to maybe just annoy you, John. They actually have an ergonomic benefit. A lot of people have nervous issues like carpal tunnel syndrome, which are exacerbated by gripping the cylinder like a steering wheel for a long time. Those thumb bolsters actually help spread the force and share it between your thumb and your palm, reducing hand fatigue. They also act as a tactile feedback to the driver about their orientation on the steering wheel. When your thumbs are around those bulges, even without looking at that, you know your steering wheel is pointed straight ahead. Now, race cars and race car drivers started using these even before they started showing up in passenger cars for both of the same reasons. Plus, by providing a perch for your thumb, they also make the wheel less likely to slip in your hands. So my recommendation, why don't you try the 9 and the 3 grip with your thumbs on the bulges and see if you like that better. And if not, well, you can always grab your belt sander and maybe make work of those bulges yourself. Good luck. Yeah, that's a great question. I have those on my truck, and I always wondered what those were there, and I now have the answer. And I love the fact that we have technology in cars that were actually generated from race cars, not just the fact that we are, you know, helping with engine production and suspension production. The steering wheels in race cars are actually making their way into cars that we all drive on a daily basis. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name is Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday, and you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.